Open your Bibles, if you would, to Proverbs 31st chapter. Just want to read a verse there, if you would like to read it with me. As you turn there, let me just say it is a joy to be here this morning. It is always good to be among God's people. It's good to see the number we have here with us, several who are visiting with us. It's good to have our college students back here. We do have some who are out because of sickness, and we certainly do want to keep them in our prayers. We've got some who are traveling. I know that Aaron Banta is one of those who's away traveling. Let's keep all of those in our prayers. But let's join together now in the study of God's Word. And Proverbs 31, verse 28, this chapter that is known for the virtuous wife, the worthy woman, says in verse 28, "Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her." Her children, they praise her. Her husband praises her. In Ephesians, the 6th chapter, verse 1, "Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you may live long on the earth." I would never want a Sunday that the world calls Mother's Day to in any way detract from the glory and the honor that belongs to the Lord. This is first, foremost, the Lord's Day. But if the Lord told us that mothers are to be honored, they are to be praised, then I think it good that on an occasion like this, when folks' minds are thinking about mothers, that we think some about what does God have to say about mothers. That we honor both God and mothers by taking what God says. And this morning, I want to, in a way, take this time to give honor to those who are godly mothers. But I also want to challenge. This is going to be a challenge to mothers to be the godly mother that God intends. It will be a challenge to fathers to help the mothers in that role. I hope it will be a challenge to those who are yet unmarried, for young men to think about, this is what I should be looking for in the woman I would marry. For those, of course, who are young ladies who think about marriage, this is what I hope to grow into. There are a lot of ways you can go with this. I'm going to go in the direction of love. That mothers, who are what God wants them to be, are loving mothers. Now, just that title, you could have thought, this is going to be about us loving our mothers. I want to talk about the love mothers have. And I want to start by saying, a good mother loves God. Look at Matthew, the 22nd chapter. This is the kind of principle that applies to all Christians. Jesus was asked, "Teacher," verse 36, "which is the great commandment in the law?" And you know his answer. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment." You think back to Jesus at the beginning in the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe not in the very beginning of his ministry, but Matthew puts it at the beginning. He said, "Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." On a day when we think about mothers and the honor we might give to them, I would remind you of something said in Matthew 10, where Jesus said in verse 34, "Do not think that I came to bring peace on earth. I did not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's enemies will be those of his own household. He who loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. And he who loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me." It may seem as a strange place to start, but a woman who would be the best kind of mother will not love her family the most. She will love God first. That will be the most important thing in her life, that she love God, that she be faithful to Him. She will, because of that, in turn, be the best example a child could ever have. Because this mother who loves God is going to do all within her power to assemble with the saints. Hebrews 10, 24, 25, that we know so well, where it says, do not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. This is a mother, we talk about it, and I'm going to say something about it later. She's teaching her children the Bible. I'll tell you, before she's teaching them the Bible, they are seeing her study the Bible. She loves the Lord. 1 Peter 2 and verse 2, she is like that newborn babe that desires the pure milk of the Word. They see it in her. When they become old enough to read or to hear passages like Galatians 5, it describes the works of the flesh, the adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murder, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. They will say, that's certainly not the way my mother would live. And then they learn of the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. The good mother is one whose children are not just taught this. They are shown this. And let me just say, obviously, we are not saying, I'm not saying, that there is the mother who is perfect in all of these things. Everyone, man, woman, child, has a bad moment and is in the process of growing unto the perfect maturity. But these are things they can see in our lives. They see prayer in her. She, as a good mother, she teaches them what's really important. Oh, she's very concerned about how they do in school. When they need help with school, she's there to help them. But that's not what's most important. If they play sports, she'll be there to cheer for them. They have piano recitals or such, she'll be there to politely clap for them. But her children will know. Her mother will never be missing a Bible study, period of worship, for something like that. Her children from the very beginning will be taught that, yes, schoolwork is important, but like Timothy, from childhood, it was said in 2 Timothy 3:15, he had known the Holy Scriptures. The mother who loves God makes sure her children know this. She's the kind of mother that would practice discipline with her children. Back up. If you want to be the most loving mother to your children, don't start there. Start by loving God. If you start with your children, sometimes you have a way of measuring the things of God against what you think is best for your children. When you start with God and His principles guide everything, love for Him is foremost, you will ultimately love your children in the supreme way. But it will be measured and guided by what it needs to be guided by. Start with God. And then may I say to you, we don't often think of this in parenting, but a good mother is one who is like a Christian who loves her neighbor as herself. When Jesus was asked, what's the great commandment? He said, love the Lord your God. Then He said, the second is like it. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. At about this point, maybe it'd be good for me to stop and say, somebody said, well, what about the dads? And them loving God and loving their neighbor. an awful lot of what I'm going to say today could be used in a sermon on fathers. See, that's another sermon for another day. This is about the mothers. Fathers, you're not going to get off the hook. Your sermon will come. But this is about mothers. Luke, the 10th chapter, verses 36 and 37. We call it the parable of the Good Samaritan. Be a neighbor to others. In James, the 1st chapter, verse 27. Pure religion, that is, the person who loves God, is going to visit the orphans and widows in their affliction. You're going to be good to others. Mothers need to teach children not to be self-centered. That one of the great problems of our world is that too many people are all about self. And as parents, as mothers, you want to teach them it is more blessed to give than to receive. And it will take some teaching. But one of the greatest teaching tools is for them to see a servant, to be raised by a servant mother. And I don't mean serving every whim of the child. I mean seeing a mother who is given to the practice of hospitality. That's something the Bible commands us, to be given to hospitality, to be a part of that, to be like a Dorcas. You think about there in Acts 9 when Peter goes there and the widows are bringing out the coats and the things she has made. What they're saying is, here is a woman who was a servant. One of the best ways your children will learn to do for others is to see you doing for others. Taking food to those who need it. Visiting the sick. Providing child care for somebody who needs it. Back in Proverbs 31, where he describes this virtuous wife, this worthy woman, in verse 20, it said, she extends her hand to the poor. Yes, she reaches out her hands to the needy. This is a woman who was about her family. It says so much about her husband, about her children. But she wasn't just about her family. She cared about the poor. She cared about others. In the book of Titus, in the 3rd chapter, Titus has a lot to say about good works. Verse 1, remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey, to be ready for every good work. Verse 8, this is a faithful saying, and these things I want you to affirm constantly, that those who have believed in God should be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable to men. Help your children develop the spirit Jesus spoke of in Matthew 20, verses 25 through 28. You remember James and John, through their mother, had asked for the positions of honor. Jesus said, not in my kingdom. In my kingdom, honor comes from being a servant. Those who would be great are those who would serve. God's kingdom is built up far more than we realize sometimes, by people performing humble acts of service for others. I fully believe that we need preaching, or I wouldn't do this. Elders are part of God's plan. If we're going to sing together congregationally, we need somebody to lead us in the singing. And we need all of these things that are done collectively, corporately. But so often, the building up of the body is done by that meal that's taken to somebody, by that kind deed that's done. And I'm not restricting that to mothers. But there's so many. Don't ever let anybody tell you, well, there's just nothing for women to do. There's plenty for servants to do. Whether you're male or female, if you have a servant mentality, there's always plenty to do. Good mothers, they love their neighbor. Third good mothers love their husbands. Titus 2, verse 4, the older women were to admonish the younger women to love their husbands. And you think about it. If the biblical pattern is followed, a woman won't become a mother unless she is first a wife, till she has a husband. Hebrews 13, 4, marriage is honorable among all, and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. She's first a wife. Sometimes, when children come along, there are women who become so absorbed in the children, they forget the relationship that existed first. And they're more concerned about being a good mother than a good wife. And I think when you do that, you hurt your children in a lot of ways. You think about what you've done. Your children, if they don't see a mother who's also a loving wife, Proverbs 18:22, God says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord. They're going to have a skewed view of marriage if that's what they see in you. What you're doing is you're teaching them, whether you realize it or not, to treat God's word with selectivity. Oh, you know, I'll do these commandments, because they're going to hear sermons and readings about the wife. And by your example, you will say, that doesn't matter. Ephesians 5, 1 Peter 3, these passages that talk about the roles of husband and wife, if they don't see you in this, your daughters are going to be less prepared than they should be for marriage. And I would say your sons also. By being the proper mother and wife, you help your sons to see what they should be looking for, what they should appreciate in a woman. Take this role seriously. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Verse 33, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Teach your children by your life to respect what God says on this matter. In Proverbs, the first chapter, there's one that I want to point out where there's an overlap of mother and wife. Proverbs 1, verse 8 says, my son, hear the instruction of your father and do not forsake the law of your mother, for they will be a graceful ornament on your head and chains about your neck. Look also at Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep your father's command and do not forsake the law of your mother. Bind them continually upon your heart. Tie them around your neck. One of the most important things you do as a mother in regard to your children is to be united with their father, your husband, in the rearing of the children. The father's command and the law of the mother should be guiding them in the same direction. That's the point of this passage. It's not as though they are two disparate things that would take you down two different paths. Mothers who are good wives work together with their husband. In some marriages, it's not that way. It's almost a competition between the two of them for the love of their children. Love one another first, and then you can love your children. And that's our last point. Well, I'm not just say this. Ladies, if you want to one day be a mother, enjoy the blessings of children, pick wisely. Because you also have to be a wife. You know, it won't be hard to love those children, I hope. Make sure you have a man you can love. But the last one I want to say is, she loves her children. That, you know, you would think you shouldn't have to teach this. But why does Titus 2, verse 4, admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children? If some women didn't have to be taught it, it wouldn't be there. Psalm 127, children are a heritage from the Lord. The fruit of the womb is His reward. I think most of us would appreciate that. Most of us, men or women, don't have to be taught that. And yet, we live in a country that can abort nearly a million babies a year. That will sometimes find babies thrown into a dumpster. That, you know, there are those who, Romans 1 and verse 31, in the King James says, natural affection, without natural affection. There are those who are like that. But I think what's a greater problem in our time is the inability to prioritize our love. We love our children, but sometimes we love doing our own thing as much or more. In 1 Timothy, the 5th chapter, in verse 14, he said, therefore I desire that the younger widows marry, bear children, manage the house, give no opportunity to the adversary to speak reproachfully. There's a domestic emphasis here. To marry, bear children, manage the house, rule the house, the King James says. In Titus, the 2nd chapter, verse 4, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. As a society, we've moved away from the idea of loving one's children enough to devote oneself to them. Oh, there's a compartment in our lives for them. But I tell you what, children need a mother to hold them, to reassure them, to teach them, to discipline them. And those things take time. Sometimes it's the pursuit of money or the prestige of a career. But there are plenty of stay-at-home, as we would say, stay-at-home mothers who aren't devoted to their children. You know, they've got the television, they've got the books they like to read, they've got their Facebook, and they've got... It's not that any of that is wrong in and of itself. But we've invented this myth, and I will tell you, it is a myth, that we can have quality time with limited quantity of time. The best teaching moments don't come planned. We need to be there for them. To have a mindset, it goes back to what we said about the servant mentality. Philippians 2, 3 and 4, let nothing be done through selfish ambition or conceit, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than himself. Let each of you look out not only for his own interest, but also for the interest of others. I'm not suggesting for a moment mothers don't need time to themselves. They do. And we as fathers sometimes fall short in that, in helping with that. But mothers, and just preview of another sermon, fathers, it's not all about us. Sometimes it's about looking out for the interest of others. And today I'm talking about the interest of our children, of doing what is best for for them. We need to prioritize. We need to provide discipline. Way behind, aren't we? He who loves his child disciplines in Proverbs 13:24. Mothers and daddies, if you love the Lord, then you believe His Word. If you love the Lord, you want to give your children back to Him like Hannah did with Samuel. And part of that's discipline. Teaching them, correcting them. I'm not going to go into much discussion of discipline today except to say it needs to be done. Do that. 2 Timothy. It says of Lois and Eunice that there was a faith in them. I love this. When I call to remember 2 Timothy 1:5, the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. Any of you ever heard the expression, God doesn't have any grandchildren? You know, that is the idea that every person has to make their decision as to whether they're going to be a child of God. You know, you're not just that by, well, your parents were Christians, so that makes you a Christian. No, it doesn't work that way. And that's a point we need to emphasize a lot. And yet, I read a passage like 2 Timothy 1, and there is such a thing as a generational faith that can be passed down. No, a Timothy has to make the decision on his own at some point. And all of you who are Christians have made that decision. But if you've got the faith of a Lois, it's likely to be found in a Eunice. And then when you've got the faith of a Lois and a Eunice, it's more likely to be found in a Timothy. This morning, I'm challenging mothers to love. But I'm also want to say this. I am here to say publicly, I thank you who do these things. And I suspect that every mother here might be saying, boy, he got on my toes today. He was hard. I'm challenging you to rise even higher. But I appreciate more than you can know those of you who are making the effort to love God, to love your neighbor, to love your husband, and to love your children. We're all works in progress. And I hope we will continue to make that kind of progress. But as we close, I want to say this, as I said at the very beginning, as important as our mothers are, and as much as they deserve honor every day, not just today, this is the Lord's day. And we honor Him above everything. And if you're not honoring Him, and you honor God by doing what God says, by doing His teachings. You know, I think about, I'm grateful for my mother and the part she played in helping me to know the one who could take away my sins. But of all the things she could do, that's the thing I needed most she couldn't do for me. I needed the Savior. And that's the same way with you. Our mothers, oh, they could make that little hurt go away from a scraped knee. But when we reach that point, that we realize the most serious need we have, Mom and Daddy can't take care of that. But the Lord Jesus Christ can. If you'll be obedient to Him. This morning, if you've never been baptized into Christ, if you've never had His blood to wash your sins away, why not? You know, when we were small, we didn't hesitate to go run into Mama or Daddy when we were hurt. We knew they would pick us up and they'd make us feel better. Why, when we get older, And we have a hurt that's far greater than any of that. Do we not rush to the one who wants to help us, that wants to heal us? He asks you to come to Him in penitent faith, confessing His Son. And He says, I'll give you a new life. I'll make you whole again. Would you allow us to help you with that, to baptize you into Christ today? Or perhaps you've fallen away from the Father who loves you. We would pray for you today, pray with you, that you might be healed. Would you come as we stand and sing together?